Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50? Well, we're delighted to have my pastor here with us tonight. And his wife, Doris, it's such a great having you here with us. Genesis chapter 50. And this is the last message I'll be bringing out of Genesis, for now, at any rate. Let's begin reading in verse 22. I've entitled this message, God Will Surely Visit You. I covet that, don't you? I want Him to visit me. And I want Him to visit you. Verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. If you were going to pick out the part of Joseph's life that most clearly sets forth his faith, there's a lot to choose from, isn't there? This was a very remarkable man, one of the most eminent types of Christ in all of the Word of God. You remember the dreams that he had, how even the sun and the stars would bow down before him. That was remarkable. You remember him refusing to give in to the temptation of Potiphar's wife, that continual temptation. He refused to give in. That was remarkable. You think of his exemplary conduct while he was in prison. That was remarkable. You think of his interpretation of the dreams of Pharaoh. That was very remarkable. You think of the way he forgave his brothers and how he loved his brothers after all they had done to him. That was remarkable. What a remarkable man he was. But when the Holy Spirit speaks of his faith, what does he speak of? Would you turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 11? Hold your finger there in Genesis 50 and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, of all these amazing events of Joseph's life, here's what God the Holy Spirit uses to demonstrate Joseph's faith. Beginning in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing, and the Greek word actually is the exodus. That's how it's pronounced. He made mention of the exodus of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now that is the event that God the Holy Spirit was pleased to use to tell us of his faith. Now, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, he talked about an event that wasn't going to take place for another 430 years. That's how long it would be before this Exodus took place. He told them before it ever took place, you're going to depart. And when you depart, I want you to take my bones with you. He wanted to have no connection with Egypt. I don't want my bones left in Egypt. I want them brought into the promised land. Now, Egypt in the scriptures is typical. It represents something. I want to read a scripture from Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. After God's two witnesses are killed, we read, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Egypt typically is bondage. That's what it represents. Bondage, man's religion, human religion, salvation by works. And Joseph says, "I don't want my bones left in Egypt. I don't want to have any connection with Egypt. When you all leave, and you will leave in 430 years, when you leave, I want you to take my bones with you." Hebrews 11:22 is a reference to that passage I just read in Genesis chapter 50. And the writer to the Hebrews says it was by faith that Joseph made this statement. Now, I'm going to ask a real simple question. What is faith? And don't just let that pass by. This is so important. What is faith? How would you define that? What is faith? Well, let me tell you exactly what it is according to the Word of God. Faith is believing God. It's believing what God says in His Word. It's not so much believing in what God can do. Somebody says, "My God can do anything. He can get me out of this mess. He can save me from this trouble. He can make things easy for me. He can deliver me." Now that, He can, no doubt about it. But that's not really so much what faith is. It's not believing what God can do. It's believing He will do what He said He would do in His Word. Now that's what faith is. Faith is believing He has done what He said He has done in His Word. Now, why did Joseph know there would be an Exodus? He foretells it 400 years before it takes place. How did he know it would take place? When he made this statement, it hadn't taken place yet. Well, he knew this the same way you or I would know it. He knew it because God had already said it would happen. This actually begins over in Genesis 15. God had already said this would happen. He said this to Abraham. Joseph knew it because God said it. That's faith, isn't it? Turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 15. Verse 12. "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham." This is Joseph's great-grandfather. "And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he, the Lord, said unto Abram, Know of a surety, know this for sure, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." Now, no doubt, Joseph knew of this. He believed this because God said it. That's how he knew. Same way you and I know. How is it that we know? How is it that we believe? We believe what God said. God said this would take place in His Word, and Joseph believed it would take place. You know, Genesis 15 is the great chapter of faith. If you want to understand something about faith, read Genesis chapter 15. As a matter of fact, the first time the word believed is used in the scripture is found here in Genesis 15. Look in verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord." Talking about Abraham. "And he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, what did he believe? Well, look in verse 4 of Genesis 15. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, when God said this to Abraham, did he have any kids? He didn't have a one, did he? Did he have any physical evidence whatsoever that this was going to take place? No, he didn't. He was barren. Sarah's womb was barren. He had no physical evidence at all that it would take place, but God said it would. And he believed what God said. Is anything else needed? If God said it in His Word, is anything else needed? Here's an example. Faith is so simple. Scripture says in Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves, talking to every believer, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now, do I feel like I'm dead to sin? As far as the way I feel. Do I feel like I'm dead to sin? No. Do I believe I am dead to sin? Yes. I believe it all together because God says I am. If He says I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Complete in Him. You lack nothing. You're complete in Him. Do I feel complete? No. Do I believe I am complete? Absolutely. I believe it with all my heart because the Scripture says you are complete in Him. Faith is believing what God said. Now, how is it that Joseph knows this Exodus is going to take place? Because God said it would. Now look in verse 12 again of Genesis 15. He says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety. Know this for sure. It's going to take place. Now, this was said 400 years before it took place, but God said it will for sure take place. Why? Because He said it would. You know, this is absolute predestination, the predetermination of everything He's in control of. He said, know this of a surety. This is going to take place. That thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. This is talking about the 10 plagues. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And what a wonderful type of the gospel we have here. You know, the Lord brings me out. He brings you out. He brings us out of Egypt. This is a work of His grace. And we're brought out with great substance. I'm looking at some infinitely wealthy people right now. I'm talking about great. I have the very righteousness of God. I am in my beloved the very righteousness of God. Is that great substance? I am complete. Lacking nothing. I have my Heavenly Father who owns all things. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I have the grace of God, the free, unmerited favor of God. I've got faith. I've got repentance. I've got a new heart. I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have great substance. Every believer has great substance. The Lord brings us out. With great substance, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Joseph heard all of this, and he believed. Do you believe that God will do what He said He'll do in His Word? Do you believe He has done what He said He would do in His Word? Are you relying on what God says in His Word? Are you? And my friends, that is faith. That's simple. Believing God. Now go back to Genesis 50. Joseph
tells them about this because God said it would happen. That's why he knew. Now, verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And evidently all of his brethren outlived him. And Joseph saw Ephraim, his children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now he knew they were going to be afflicted in this land. You're there. Look at Exodus chapter 1. Look beginning verse 12 or verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Now, when this took place, this was 400 years after Joseph said, you're going to be brought out. But he said, you're going to be in this strange land for 400 years, and after that, the Lord will surely visit you, a divine visitation. Now, isn't that exactly what I need? What you need? A divine visitation. He says, I will surely visit you. And the reason he will surely visit us is because he said he would. He said, I will surely visit you and bring you out. Now, I want to think about this thought, this thing of the Lord visiting me. Don't you want the Lord to visit you? Well, if you do, he already has. He already has. You know, even the desire, this true desire for a divine visitation is the work of his grace. He already has. Now, I want you to think about how he's visited you. I'm speaking to every believer. This is the heritage of every believer. You've had this divine visitation. He said, I'll surely visit you, and you've got it. Now, first, didn't he visit you when he gave you to his son to be your surety? Before time began, before you had any physical existence, what a divine visitation you had. He gave you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a divine visitation? When he gave you to the Son, and the Son agreed to be your surety and covenanted to be completely responsible for your salvation, is that not a divine visitation? What could be more glorious than that? God the Father looked to Christ for everything he requires of you. Quite often, this word visitation is used in reference to judgment and punishment of sin. How many times do we read in the Scriptures where he'll visit and punish iniquity? He'll visit and punish the iniquity of the fathers and the children's and the children's children, the third and fourth generation. As a matter of fact, that's used throughout the Scriptures, the visitation like this. It's used as a way of punishment. Well, on the cross, we received a divine visitation for our sins. When the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, I was too. I was in Him. My sins became His, and I received a divine visitation against my sins. My sins were punished. God will never let sin go unpunished. My sins were punished at that time, and He put them away. But what a divine visitation that was when I went to the cross with Him. I love that song, In the Beloved, I went to the tree. That's exactly what took place. And what a divine visitation that is. And what a divine visitation we've had in His providence. Now, He visited me on the cross. I was in Christ.
He visited my sins and He took Christ's righteousness and gave it to me. And you know, what about providence? Providence is everything that happens in time. Do you know everything that has ever taken place with you, the Lord's hand's been on you. From the time you split the womb, everything that has taken place has been a divine visitation. You can't take that too far. Everything that happens, He's in absolute control of. It's been a divine visitation. What a divine visitation we had when He gave us spiritual life. You know, there was a time when I didn't know the Lord. There was a time when I didn't know what it meant to believe. There was a time when repentance was a complete mystery to me. There was a time when I had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that to my shame. I actually had no love for Him. And He, in His mercy, visited me with almighty, invincible, irresistible grace. And He gave me a new heart. He gave me a heart to love Him. He gave me a heart to believe Him. He gave me repentance. He gave me a view of His Son. What a divine visitation. The power of the Highest overshadowed me. And He gave me life. What a divine visitation that is. And how He has continually visited us in preserving us and keeping us from falling away and causing us to continually look to His Son. Surely we can say, surely goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a divine visitation. And I want to say this carefully. When I sin. When I sin. He doesn't cast me off. He visits me in mercy and love and grace. You can't sin away His grace. If you could, it wouldn't be grace. Thank God for this divine visitation that we always have. He never stops visiting. You know, the time is going to come, just like Joseph, when it's time for me to die and it's time for you to die. But you know, at that time, He will visit you in a remarkable way. And He'll carry you into Abraham's bosom. What a visit that will be. And on Judgment Day, when my name is called, I'll have a divine visitation. He'll say for me, present and accounted for. What kind of visit is that? And we will spend eternity experiencing this divine visitation. And you know, even right now, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come to him and sup with him. And he with me. Don't you want that visit? Oh, I want to sup with him. And this visit is sure because it's the promise of His grace. Now notice how He doesn't merely say God will visit you. He says He will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land to which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel saying, God will surely, surely visit you. You know what that means? That means for sure. That means it's absolute certain. That means it can't be miscarried. God will surely visit you. Now you can take this promise to yourself. It's for sure. Why? David put it this way. Although my house be not so with God, yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and what's the next word? Sure.
And this is all my salvation and all my desire. Because salvation is by grace. And that means unmerited favor. Absolutely unmerited. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Because of that, He is surely going to visit me. A divine visitation is absolutely for sure. Look what He says here in verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word bring out means to ascend or to set on high. He will set you on high. In this divine visitation, He'll set you on high. Now turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now when He visits you, He will. And He already has set you on high. I suppose that there's hardly a day that goes by when I don't think about this passage of Scripture. This is just one of my favorites. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I wrote it down in my notes again. And I thought, well, I wonder if they get tired of me reading the Scripture. And I thought, well, I don't. So if you all do, that's your problem. I love hearing it over and over again. I mean, this is wonderful. And listen to what it says here in Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. Now here's this ascension He's talking about. To present you, having presented you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, I ascended when He ascended. When He left this earth and went back to the Father, you know who else did? I did. In the person of my representative, united to Him, I went right there with Him. Just as truly as I went with Him to the tree. I went with Him into the tomb. I went with Him out of the tomb. My sins being gone. I ascended back with Him to the Father. And He made this glorious presentation, having presented every one of His people, ascending on high, presenting every one of His people holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. He says He'll bring you out. Back to our text in Genesis 50. He'll bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, the land of promise. And Joseph, verse 25, took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. No doubt about this, He's promised He'll do it, therefore it must happen, and you'll carry my bones back to that land of promise. Now, this is interesting to think about. Joseph's existence began where? In Egypt? No. His existence began in the land of promise. That's where he started. Not in Egypt. In the land of promise. My existence began in heaven. My existence really never had a beginning. I've always been united to Christ. Now Joseph, for a time, was in Egypt. For a temporary time. I'm here for a while. You're here for a while. Passing through. But I'm going back to my homeland. I'm headed back there. Joseph said, take my bones and carry them there to my true home That's where I want to be. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit refers to when He speaks of the faith of this remarkable man. And there isn't anybody's life who's more exemplary than Joseph's. You know he's such a wonderful type of Christ. But yet, when God the Holy Spirit speaks of the faith of this man, He refers to it in faith in its simplest form. He simply believed what God already said. And I pray that the Lord will give you and I the grace to do just that, to believe what He says in His Word. May God bless this to our hearts. Let's pray together.